most fascinating exchanges between brothers. The Pasuk says, in Perek Chofei, V'yav Yitzchak is Esau Gitzai Befiv, Rivka Heves is Yaakov, Yitzchak favored Esau, Yaakov favored, Yitzchak favored Esau, Rivka favored Yaakov, V'yozeid Yaakov Nozit, and Yaakov laid a dish, V'yove Esau when Nafkodeh Behu Oyeh, Esau came from the field and he was hungry. V'yema Esau Yaakov, Esau said to Yaakov, Haliteni no, pour for me, when Odom Odom Azeh from this red stuff, Ki Oyeh V'noichi, because I'm tired. Arkein Korah Shmoy Edom, from that time on his name was Edom. Oyeh Yaakov, Yaakov said, 1 second, it's coming to the price. Michro Kayoim Es Bechoyros Choli, for the price of this, sold me your Bechoyra. Yoyme Esau, Esau said, fine, Hine Noichi Hoyeh the Chlovah, so I'm going to die. V'lom Azeli Bechoyra, what do you need Bechoyra for? Very cheap. Fine, let's do it. V'yim Yaakov Ishovali, I need a shvur from you. He made a shvur, and he sold his bechor to Yaakov. Yaakov gave Esav not only the Odom HaOdoim, he gave him Lechet and Zim HaDoshim. He stood up, he ate, he drank, he stood up, he went. V'yivayis Esav is bechor, and Esav was mevazah the bechor. He threw back, he abused the whole element of bechor. Very interesting parasha. And it's a very short few psukim, but a very, very fascinating exchange over here. Firstly, one has to understand over here that the Pasuk does not give us a real insight of who Esau was and what he came back from. The parashah at the Medrash brings down that Esau was over on that day 5 Isurim, including rape and murder. He was tired, had a very busy day, and that was Esau, a very busy day, right? Doesn't say over here, but that's Oyev was included in that, right? He had a very busy day. Then Esau does something which is unusual, and he says, give me min ha'odim ha'odim azeh. He describes exactly what he wants to eat, this red stuff. Al kein korah shmoy Edoim. For that time on, his name was Edoim. Now Edoim, sometimes he has one-eyed George. Yeah, he's a mafia man, he has one eye, because he lost it during a gunfight with another a mafia godfather, right? We are naming now Esau as a mafia godfather, Edoim. Red. Not because he was born looking completely covered in red hair, but because he said about this food, give me from this red stuff. It's called Edom from that time on. Why does that depict him? Why is that an appropriate name for somebody who did a slip of the tongue, a seemingly careless description of something, and from that time on it's called Edom, and that describes who he is. How does that describe who he is? Furthermore, you see that there is there seems to be a cross of what Esau actually said originally and what he said later on, and we'll get to that soon. So I want to understand this, and I wanted to split this into three different categories and three different stages of what happens generally when a person goes through a situation of Aveira. I'll give an example. I'm just thinking about it today, and Chatose Ani Maskeh Hayoim. I was driving with my car and I saw a gentleman along Kvish Esser who was waiting for a tram. Yeah, he had his arms out waiting for a tram. So there's three stages in what goes through your mind. Stage number one is, why should I give him a tram? Yeah, I'm busy. Boom. As you drive past him, you set an opportunity to stop. No, I can't stop now, there's police behind me, right? And then, eventually, as I passed by Nebuchadnezzar, I saw them in my mirror, his hand go down, I felt very, very bad, and then I started justifying it. He should get a bus, and it's not good, and I started justifying it. In every Aveira, Lemaisa, there are three stages. There's a stage where, I would say stage A, is childish lust, not thinking, coming up with silly excuses. There is a stage while you're doing the Aveira where a person is completely immobile, a person is completely numb, he's not even thinking at all. And the third stage of where he justifies the action that he did beforehand. Let's understand this in this case. This parasha is telling us how a person actually perpetrates any Aveira, and Esau actually personified what happened over here. Number one. He comes in, V'yema Esav Yaakov, Haliteni no min ha'odom ha'odom azeh. Give me this red stuff. What is this red stuff? Why didn't he say it's Nezid HaDoshim? Give me the Nezid HaDoshim. What is this? So the Mefroshim explain, and so is Rabbi Zilberman and others. When a person is totally unaware of his surroundings, He is so not in touch with what is happening. All he is, he's not even interested in details. He just sees red stuff. He literally sees red. Yeah, that's what he sees. He is out of control. This person is capable of doing absolutely anything. The five averus they did beforehand are mere details, are nothing compared to what this person is actually capable of doing. If a person is completely blinded by lust, completely blinded by his yetzer hara, and he doesn't speak clearly, he doesn't say, "Give me this delectable dish of lentils that you have so beautifully cooked, Yaakovina. Give me that red stuff." He is so blinded by his passion, by his lust, this person is capable of absolutely anything. That depicts Edom. That depicts the Yetzer Hara. That depicts Western civilization. That depicts, from that time on, civilization is based on not thinking about consequences, not thinking about details, not thinking about how it's going to hurt other people, or how it's going to hurt your family, and how it's going to have repercussions. It's blind lust. That is Edom. Edom is, "I want this right now. If you stick the needle in your arm, there's going to be terrible, terrible consequences later, and it doesn't matter, I need this drug, I need it right now." And that is something, I made research recently, there's different drugs that have only the kick over only after a period of time, and drugs that aren't as effective, but they give you a kick right now. The previous generation were into the drugs that eventually got into the body after a while, and they liked them, that was a more favoured drug. Today, we might call that, "I want it right now. Even if it's not that great, I want it right now." Again, I don't know exactly all the details, but that is the idea. Edom is depicted by somebody who's not interested in details of other people's properties, other people's lives, how it's going to affect anyone else. Right now, that's Edom. That is the shitta beforehand. More than that, how did he get around the fact that he's a son of Yitzchok Avinu? He's a grandson of Avram Avinu. He's coming into a shiva home of the God Lahador, and now he wants to get rid of the Bechira for literally a bowl of lentils. How did he do that? So Esau said, "Hine anoichi hoylech lamus. I'm going to die." In other words, there's no point. The halachas are so complicated of Beis HaMikdash and the Avodah. It's just, I'm going to die beforehand. There's not much point. A silly reason. Learn the halachas. Understand them. And you won't die. Well, every kohen dies. And Medrash brings out a different lashon, and he says that he came in and he sees him cooking a dish. So he says, "What is this?" He said, "You're not here. Zaidi died. Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu died. A tzaddik like that. Where's God? Where can there be a Rabbeinu Shloilam? If a tzaddik dies, that's it. I don't want the Bechira. I'm not interested in the Bechira. Sell me this dish here." What a ridiculous claim. Avram Avinu is 175 years old. Everybody has to die eventually. Lived a good, ripe old age, save a tova, lived a good old, and that is his excuse. Where is God during the Holocaust? Good excuse. Wonderful. By the way, tell me the full concentration camps. Tell me a little bit how the Holocaust happened. Tell me, that's not the point. It's not the point. I was once invited to an atheist convention of where was God during the Holocaust in Tel Aviv. An atheist convention of where was God during the Holocaust. Right? I don't know exactly how that works together, but that is an excuse. The excuse is a concept of, I can't, it's not possible. Foolishness. That is stage one. Stage one is, how can a Avraham Avinu die? What is that? That is just a justification of leaving behind your intellect, blinding for that red stuff. It's idea of, it's just all this frum halach is not for me, diving in for the red stuff. So the first stage is blinded by the lust, blinded by the taiva, and that is stage number one. Move on to the next stage. Now he's eating it. Says the Beis Halevi, why did it say the lashon of halitenino? Halitenino means pour it down my throat. Yeah, Esav is fully capable of doing it himself. Take it with a big spoon, with a big ladle, and guzzle it down yourself. What is the idea of halitenino, pour it down my throat? Says the Beis Halevi, end of the day, Esav knows that more is expected from him. More is expected from anybody, even from him. You're going into a shiva home. You're going into a place where Avram Avinu Lamaisa has ended his life. Your father sitting shiva. It's a feeling, it's an environment of tshuva. It's an environment of seriousness. Not only that, the lentils are there in order to depict the vulnerability of a human being, that it's round, that everything's going to come, what goes round comes round. It's a food that's to remind you of death. The Gemara says, if a person has a Yetzer Hara, The person, ultimately, death is supposed to remind a person of his vulnerability and dying. And if he's eating a food in a shiva house, that's supposed to remind him of doing shiva, Esau says, I want to enjoy this. I don't want to be reminded in the middle of my meal. Yakin, I don't even want to see it. Here's my mouth, he opened his mouth and pour it down my throat. Because if I see it and I focus on it, all my enjoyment is going to go for Navera. I'm going to realize halfway through how silly it was to give up the Bukhaya for Ruchnius. So therefore, I don't even want to see it. Here's my mouth, pour it down. I don't want to be disturbed while doing Navera. That is, during Navera itself, there's a certain element there of not wanting to know, not thinking, being numb to everything else, blocking off a mental block of what's happening after that case. So again, stage one was the idea of stupidity, of childishness, of lust, of blindness, of seeing just red, not focusing on what has to be done. Number two, this next stage is not thinking, it's being numb, just not thinking at all, not justifying anything and just enjoying the moment and not allowing anything else to disturb that. And then there's stage three. And the stage three is a very, very, very powerful idea. The Pasuk says, Vayakanos and Esau, he gave him what he gave him. Vayochal, he ate it, vayesht, and he drank. Vayokam, vayelach, vayivaz, Esau, esapachira. And Esau was vayivaz. You know me, vayivaz?
Squandered.
Abused. Despised. Yeah. Despised the bachira.
Degraded.
Bachira. Says Rashi, what's the lashon? What does it mean? Vayivaz, Esau, esapachira, heid ha kosuv al rishli. The pasuk is made, gives witness to his rishus. Shabize avidosu shamokim, that by doing so he was mavaze, he despised, he made despicable, he degraded the whole idea of the bechira. And let's understand this carefully. This is brilliant. This is from the chedusha halev. Says Eliyahu Mizrahi, Perush on Rashi. He says, why is Rashi saying this over here? He says because earlier on Esav did not despise the concept of Bukhira. Only right now he despised it. At the end, after he had and he ate and he drank, then he despised it, not beforehand. What was his idea? What was his philosophy beforehand? It's not for me, it's too frum. He didn't despise it. He didn't say Bukhira is not special. He didn't say Bukhira is, who needs Bukhira? I wish I could do it, but it's just not for me. It's just not for me. Yeah, and the idea of even Avraham Avinu died, it's just like I don't have a connection to it. But it's not Chalila that he despised it. At the end, he despised it. So beforehand, he had a silly taina of it's not for me, it's too frum. Think about it, it's a silly taina. At the end, he is despising it. It's a rishus. Asks Rav Henoch Lebowitz. He doesn't understand. Esav had a silly taina at the beginning and a clever taina and a new philosophy at the end. Why did he not use his philosophy at the beginning? And when he wanted to have this instead of Adoshim, he could have said, Bechira, who needs Bechira? And at that stage, Vayivez. At that stage, despised it. Why did he wait till afterwards to despise it? Why did he have a silly taina at the beginning? Well, it's not for me, it's too frum. And then later on, despise it. Why did he not miss out that stage and despise it at the beginning? The answer is, to despise Bechira is worse than being silly. Esav did not want to use the philosophy of despising Bechira when he didn't need to. So at the beginning, he didn't need to have the despising. He was happy enough to justify it by some silly excuse. In a blurred moment of passion, he was of lust. He was happy with that. He didn't want to use that philosophy of despising something which is so bad at that stage. At the end, though, it's all worn away. He doesn't have this blind lust. He doesn't have all this. Now, he's got to come up with a real good answer in order to make him feel happy to walk away from this feeling not terrible. So what does he do? He makes a new philosophy up, which is worse than beforehand. Bechira! Who needs Bechira? Terrible thing, Bechira. And he made a philosophy up now that he didn't have beforehand. So the Henoch Lebowitz, what comes out of this is as follows. That sometimes after a person does an Avera, he stoops down to levels that are worse than before he did the Avera. Because before he did that aveira, it wasn't vayives. He was just being silly. And at the end, he did an aveira. After he did the aveira, the philosophy after aveira was worse than before he did the aveira, because now he's got to come up with an intellectual philosophy to answer his stage where he is right now, not answer his lust with covering up with some stupidity like he did beforehand. Which is a very, very fascinating thing. Just short time, so let me just finish here. The Mesillas Yesharim brings down that after a person does an aveira, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a person opportunity, when things have calmed down, to have a hiruho tshuva. To have a hiruho tshuva. Why did I do this? Oh, that's so stupid. What did I gain from all this? And at that moment, to grab the opportunity and to chap it. Esav did the opposite, did a philosophy, and it's a very, very interesting pasuk. The Medrash brings down that when Yitzchak gave a bracha to Yaakov, he said, and he smelt, the pasuk says, Re'ei rech b'ni k'rech sodeh, v'yorech b'godol v'yivarcheu. And he smelt his clothes and he gave him a bracha. What does that mean? Ela b'shosh nichnas of avinu Yaakov etzel aviv nichnaso imoy gan Eden. The smell of gan Eden came in. That's why it says re'ei rech b'ni k'rech sodeh. The rech of gan Eden came in. U'b'shosh nichnas etzel aviv nichnas imoy gehenim. Dava acher v'yorech esrech b'godol v'yivarcheu. He smelt begodov is lashon of boigdov. Boigdov, those people who go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he smelt the smell of those sinners, of Jewish sinners. And he brings a story. And what's the story? The story is of Yosef Mishisa. Yosef Mishisa defected. He was a Jew and he defected to the Romans. And the Romans were afraid to go in to the base of Migdash to bring out souvenirs. And they sent him inside. He said, no problem, I'll go in. And he came out with a beautiful gold menorah. And he said, you know what, anything you want, you can keep. He came with a gold menorah and says, no, this is not meant for private consumption. This is not for the individual. Go in again, take something else. He said, what? Loit dai is not enough. That I've angered the Kodesh Baruch Hu once, I'm going to anger him again. So he said, listen to me, old boy. It's not a democracy. It's not a democracy. You do it, and if you don't do it, we'll torture you. And they tortured him, and he refused, and he said he did tshuva. And he said, "Oy to Rabbi Nishoyin, I angered him, and he died doing tshuva." This is somebody who did not make a philosophy afterwards and say it was correct what I did. He did tshuva afterwards, and he went back, and then he died a kiddush Hashem. And that is the difference between a Jew who has this element of MS, and you want to make sure we keep the element of MS after Daz Aver, not to make a philosophy to justify it beforehand. So ultimately there are three stages here. There's a stage of lust before the Avera, of coming up with silly excuses, of not being able to do it because, you know, it's just too frum for me, or where was God during Avraham Avinu's death? That is enough to justify before you do the Avera. There's a level of numbness, of not thinking during the Avera. I don't want to contemplate the consequences during the Avera. Pour the red stuff into my throat. I don't want to think. And it's after the Avera, it's making a philosophy that is even worse than beforehand of a yivas esas abchoyer to justify what happens afterwards. And this is something that one has to be very, very careful. If a person does do an avera, at least realize, have charata, and don't make a philosophy out of it. You know, there, somebody once went to Reb Chaim, and he came with a whole bunch of shaydas why he doesn't know where to fill in. Yeah, what you call today chozeh b'sheila. Nobody is chozeh b'sheila. Nobody has a question strong enough. These kids who never go off the derech, Rachman al Islam, they don't go off the derech because they have a very, very tremendously difficult question in the Mesillas Yesharim, or they have the Rambam Moina Buch, and they've answered. Unfortunately, they have been, whatever it is, whether it's their fault or not their fault, they have a taiva that they are covering up, and it's an excuse. It's an excuse, but there is always an opportunity to make sure it doesn't turn into philosophy and bring them back and bring ourselves back. Thank you very much.